Picture a psychology that doesn't begin with what's broken in us, but with what's possible. In 1962, when Abraham Maslow published his revolutionary work, most psychologists were busy cataloging pathologies and adjusting people to societal norms. Maslow asked a different question entirely. What happens when we study the healthiest, most fulfilled human beings instead of the sickest? His answer became the foundation of humanistic psychology and transformed how we understand human potential. From corporate boardrooms to therapy offices, his insights continue reshaping how we think about growth, meaning, and what it means to live fully. Deep within each of us lies what Maslow called our inner nature, a biological essence that's fundamentally good or neutral, containing innate impulses toward love, creativity, compassion, and growth. When honored and expressed, we flourish. When denied or suppressed by trauma, cultural pressure, or rigid conditioning, we sicken, sometimes visibly through anxiety and depression, sometimes invisibly through quiet desperation masked as adjustment. Consider someone drawn to creative expression who instead pursues a practical career. Their depression isn't mental illness, it's their inner nature protesting its violation. Conversely, someone appearing perfectly adjusted to a toxic workplace might actually demonstrate unhealthy denial rather than psychological strength. This reframes mental health entirely. Symptoms often signal healthy resistance to unhealthy conditions. This perspective carries profound implications. If we possess an intrinsic nature that knows what's good for us, then ethics becomes discoverable rather than arbitrary. Actions either honor or violate our essential nature, registering unconsciously as self-respect or self-contempt. Growth itself often requires pain and conflict, meaning protecting people from necessary struggles may ultimately stunt their development. We operate under two fundamentally different motivational systems. Deficiency needs, food, safety, belonging, esteem, function like empty holes demanding to be filled. Without them, we develop psychological malnourishment just as surely as vitamin deficiency causes physical illness. A person lacking security obsesses over establishing safety. Someone starved for love becomes consumed by seeking connection. These needs dominate consciousness until satisfied, then recede. Growth needs operate on opposite principles. While satisfying deficiencies brings relief, fulfilling growth needs intensifies motivation. The more education growth-oriented people receive, the more they hunger to learn. Each fulfillment breeds greater capacity and desire, an upward spiral rather than equilibrium. This explains why traditional motivation theories, built on tension reduction models, fail to account for creativity. The artist working 18 hours straight isn't reducing tension, but expressing essential nature. Self-actualizing people, those who've sufficiently gratified basic needs, display distinctive characteristics: superior reality perception, genuine authenticity, problem-centering rather than ego-centering, healthy autonomy balanced with deep connections, freshness of appreciation, profound peak experiences, identification with humanity, and enhanced creativity. Most critically, satisfying deficiencies prevents illness, while growth satisfactions produce positive health. There's a profound difference between merely fending off threats and achieving triumph, between preparing to live and actually living. Growth emerges from constant tension between safety forces pulling backward and growth forces propelling us toward wholeness. We move forward when growth's delights and safety's anxieties outweigh growth's fears and safety's comforts. Consider a child learning to swim, progressing from clutching the pool's edge to floating with support to independent swimming. Each step requires both security and challenge. Without safety, exploration ceases. Without challenge, there's no development. Environments combining security with challenge foster development. Those offering either alone lead to stagnation. Students thrive in classrooms where they feel emotionally safe, yet intellectually stretched. Trauma triggers regression because the organism retreats to basic needs when higher functioning feels dangerous. The critical challenge? Only you can know when you're ready to choose growth. External pressure, even well-intentioned, undermines self-trust and confuses our ability to perceive internal delight. The greatest danger comes when children must choose between their own delight and others' approval. Most sacrifice self for approval, eventually losing touch with authentic experience entirely. Growth requires courage, the willingness to risk the familiar for the possibility of becoming more fully ourselves. Peak experiences, moments of highest happiness during love, creative work, aesthetic perception, or intellectual breakthrough, represent temporary self-actualization when our powers converge intensely. During these episodes, cognition transforms. We perceive objects as whole entities existing for themselves rather than for human purposes. Time and space dissolve. The experience becomes self-validating and intrinsically worthwhile. These moments invariably evoke awe, wonder, reverence. We become more integrated, spontaneous, creative, authentic. Contradictions that normally seem irreconcilable, selfishness and unselfishness, strength and weakness, are transcended or resolved. Peak experiences can permanently alter self-image, worldview, relationships. They often have therapeutic effects, sometimes removing neurotic symptoms. They release greater creativity and make life feel more worthwhile. These moments provide our clearest window into being, the realm beyond striving, where we experience completeness. Maslow redefines self-actualization as episodic rather than static, moments available to anyone. Self-actualizing people simply experience these episodes more frequently and intensely. During peak experiences, we encounter a paradox. As we become more purely ourselves, we simultaneously transcend self-consciousness and merge with what was formerly not self. Lovers form unified wholes, creators become one with their work, musicians dissolve into performance. Actions flow without straining. Everything clicks. Creativity isn't reserved for artistic geniuses. It's a natural outcome of psychological health available to everyone. Maslow broadens creativity beyond professional pursuits to include cooking, parenting, problem solving, any activity approached with fresh perception and spontaneous expression. Self-actualizing creativity manifests as special perceptiveness, seeing fresh, concrete reality rather than abstractions. These individuals demonstrate greater spontaneity, improvising solutions with less inhibition. Their creativity resembles childlike innocence combined with sophisticated minds, what Santayana called second naivete. They resolve dichotomies others see as contradictions, selfishness and unselfishness, work and play, duty and pleasure, integrating polarities into unified wholes. They make work playful and turn obligations into growth opportunities. Truly great creative achievements require integrated creativity, fusion of spontaneous inspiration with disciplined refinement. The creative block isn't lack of talent, but fear. Fear of judgment, of our depths, of our own thought processes. As we become more self-accepting, we waste less energy defending against ourselves, making more capacities available for creative purposes. True psychological health requires transcendence of environment, the ability to stand against society when necessary. Maslow's research reveals healthy individuals superficially accept conventions while remaining privately detached, showing good-humored rejection of cultural stupidities while working to improve society. These autonomous individuals are ruled by their own character rather than society's rules. A person perfectly adjusted to a sick society isn't healthy. They've merely internalized pathology. What we call normal is really psychopathology of the average, so widespread we don't notice it. Here's the invitation. Stop measuring yourself against arbitrary standards. Listen to that quiet voice within that knows what you need for growth. Choose courage over comfort when your authentic nature calls. Create, not because you possess special talent, but because creativity is your birthright. Experience those moments of transcendence in love, work, beauty, connection that remind you why being human is extraordinary. Your inner nature isn't something to be fixed, but honored and expressed. In becoming more fully yourself, you don't become selfish. You become capable of genuine love, authentic contribution, and that rare quality called wisdom.